Welcome, Curious Minds, to The Deep Dive. We're digging into some really fascinating material you sent us on ageism in the tech sector. And honestly, preparing this deep dive revealed some truly surprising and, I'd say, strategically crucial insights.
Yeah, you really did.
Today, we're uncovering how the tech industry's, well, persistent obsession with youth isn't just a cultural oddity. It's actually a massive strategic and financial liability. We're talking billions lost, innovation stifled.
Yeah.
We'll explore the often hidden roots of this bias, its true economic impact, the huge, often overlooked value of experienced professionals, and, interestingly, how AI is creating entirely new legal risks for companies.
Exactly. And we're moving beyond just the ethical conversation here. This is about, you know, hard economic impact, a growing talent scarcity problem, and frankly, a fundamental competitive disadvantage.
Right.
By the end of this deep dive, we'll lay out a clear sort of four-part blueprint for how organizations can pivot from this costly bias towards building a genuinely resilient and inclusive future workforce. Let's dive in.
All right, let's get into it. Our main source for this deep dive, it's a comprehensive analysis by Rob Van Lende, and it immediately hits us with this powerful statement. Ageism in tech isn't just a cultural quirk, it's a profound strategic and financial liability. For you, listening and navigating this landscape, what does that really mean?
Well, the critical insight here, I think, is that tech's youth obsession isn't just some cultural misstep. It's really a profound act of self-sabotage.
Self-sabotage.
Yeah. The industry is actively dismantling the very foundations of long-term innovation and competitive resilience. How? By discarding its most experienced minds. So, like I said, it's not just an ethical problem. It's shaping up to be a strategic catastrophe.
And the numbers you mentioned are just absolutely staggering. The report highlights that age-related bias cost the U.S. economy an estimated $850 billion in GDP. That's just in 2018 alone.
Mm-hmm.
To put that in perspective, that's roughly the size of Pennsylvania's entire economy, just gone.
It really shows the scale, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And if this trend continues, the projections show these losses could surge to, wait for it, $3.9 trillion by 2050.
Wow.
That's comparable to Germany's current GDP. It's this enormous economic drain, and it's primarily driven by older, experienced workers being forced into early, you know, involuntary retirement and then facing prolonged unemployment.
And beyond just the economic strain, there's this rapidly evolving legal landscape. Our source material mentions rising scrutiny, landmark lawsuits.
That's right.
So companies aren't just losing out on valuable talent and money. They're also exposing themselves to pretty significant legal and reputational risks. Those can be incredibly damaging.
Yeah, but hugely damaging.
Now, here's where things get really fascinating, I think. The tech industry prides itself on championing relentless change, disruption, right?
Always.
Yet our sources show it's stubbornly resistant when it comes to an aging workforce. The report calls it an epidemic of bias, rooted in this cultural obsession with youth.
And the numbers really show just how deep this youth obsession runs.
Okay, so the median age of the American workforce overall, it's around 42.
Okay.
But you look at companies like Meta, their median age is about 28. In China, tech giants like ByteDance, Kuaishou, they're hovering around 27, 28. Compare that to their national average of 38.3. It's a significant, almost extreme deviation from the norm.
That is a huge gap. And the trend isn't slowing down either. Between 2014 and 2022, the proportion of tech workers over 40 actually fell from about 56% down to 52%. It dropped below the national average for all workers.
Wow, below the average.
Yeah. Meanwhile, workers under 25, their numbers grew at double the rate of workers over 65. And you hear about people being labeled old at 35.
35, yeah.
That's barely a decade into many tech careers. It's almost absurd, isn't it? Thinking someone at the professional peak could already be deemed old in some circles, like benching a pro athlete in their prime. So it really begs the question, why does this bizarre perception persist? Well, the impact on individuals is stark. A 2018 AARP survey found 3 in 5 workers age 45 and over had either witnessed or experienced age discrimination themselves.
3 in 5.
Yeah. And in tech specifically, nearly 1 in 5 charges filed with the EEOC, that's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, are age-related. That's significantly higher than the 15% average across other industries. So it means, just like you said, people as young as 35 are commonly being labeled old.
So why does this continue? Despite the clear data showing the value, our source dives into what it calls institutional logics and societal narratives. One of the most powerful and frankly insidious is the culture fit fallacy.
Ah, yes. Culture fit.
This often seems to serve as a proxy for ageism, right? Where young, small, or fast-paced companies seem to prefer what the source even calls naive young people.
It creates the subtle but really powerful causal chain. An older candidate applies, they might get dismissed as overqualified, maybe, or more commonly, just not a culture fit.
Right, that vague phrase.
Exactly. And it's frequently just a thinly veiled form of age bias. It gets rationalized by this misperception that older workers are somehow less effective or less adaptable.
Yeah.
It becomes a self-reinforcing cycle of exclusion.
And it seems to get even deeper with this kind of self-fulfilling prophecy around technological competence. There's this widespread perception that older adults are inherently, what, incapable, technophobic, or unwilling to engage with modern tech. How does that actually play out day to day?
Well, it leads directly to this widespread inattention, really, to providing technology training for this demographic.
Oh, okay.
Organizations often just fail to recognize that older workers might need different learning approaches, maybe more face-to-face interaction or simply more time to absorb new concepts.
Mm.
So the resulting anxiety or maybe a perceived reduction in performance, it gets mistakenly attributed to age. It perpetuates the initial stereotype. The real problem isn't a lack of adaptability. It's often a lack of opportunity and appropriate support.
So when this culture fit idea and maybe biased training approaches combine, they create this lack of opportunity. What's the tangible cost? Because we've hinted at the broader economic drain, but let's zoom in on the specific, truly monumental hidden costs of continually dismissing this experienced talent pool. Our source highlights an in-depth report from AARP and the Economist Intelligence Unit.
Yeah, that report quantified a truly devastating financial impact. We mentioned the $850 billion in lost U.S. GDP in 2018 alone.
Right.
And again, this isn't just some abstract number. It's a massive drag on national productivity and innovation potential. And as we discussed, it's projected to hit nearly $4 trillion by 2050. Just imagine the innovation, the economic growth are basically leaving on the table.
It's startling. And get this, 57%, more than half of that $850 billion loss in 2018 was directly attributed to older workers being forced into early involuntary retirement.
Involuntary, yeah.
That's a huge chunk of the workforce, their potential contributions, just walking out the door unnecessarily.
And beyond those macro impacts, individual companies face really substantial financial and operational repercussions too. There was a Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco study that found a positive correlation between age diversity and firm performance.
Interesting.
What that means is teams with a mix of ages tend to generate higher revenues and foster greater innovation. So dismissing experienced professionals, it's a direct, measurable liability for a company's bottom line and its future prospects.
Okay, but it's not just about the money lost, is it? It's also about knowledge lost. The source emphasizes the erosion of institutional knowledge. For our tech-savvy listeners, what does that actually look like inside an organization?
Well, think of institutional knowledge as like the undocumented operating system of a company.
Okay, good analogy.
It's not just the code sitting in a repository. It's the tribal knowledge of why a legacy system has certain quirks, right? Or the unwritten best practices for debugging a complex microservice architecture. Or even just that subtle gut feeling an experienced engineer has that predicts if a project will succeed or fail.
Ah, the gut feeling. Can't document that.
Exactly. This tacit knowledge often just disappears when veteran engineers walk out the door, leaving significant, sometimes unfillable, gaps.
So when experienced professionals leave, this crucial, often unwritten knowledge just vanishes with them.
Precisely. And this is particularly damaging during big shifts like digital transformation projects. You know, that veteran engineer who really understands the intricacies of an old system, its unwritten rules, they can be the absolute key to a smooth migration to a new platform.
Right.
When that expertise walks out, the company is left with significant knowledge gaps. It impedes problem solving. It slows down innovation. It can even jeopardize operational continuity, the true cost, often immeasurable until, you know, a critical system fails or a major project just grinds to a halt.
Okay. So with all these financial and knowledge costs, it's easy to get caught in the negative loop here. But our deep dive also reveals this powerful counter-narrative. Our sources resoundingly refute the myth that youth holds some kind of monopoly on innovation.
Excellent.
In fact, they reveal the immense, often unacknowledged value seasoned professionals bring. But, you know, some might argue that in a fast-paced field like tech, new blood and fresh ideas are inherently more valuable. How does our source material address that common perception?
Well, the empirical evidence consistently refutes that idea. There's a Vizier report, for example, that found non-managerial tech professionals over the age of 40 are actually increasingly likely to receive top performer ratings as they gain more experience.
Increasingly likely. So more experience, better performer.
That's what the data suggests. It's a direct challenge to the stereotype.
That really challenges the bias. So it's not just anecdotes. The data clearly shows experienced workers are often top performers. And there was another survey from Generation that found a striking 89% of hiring managers reported that experienced workers performed as well as, if not better than, their younger peers.
89%. And the secret to their edge, really, it lies in a unique skill set that simply cannot be replicated by a lack of experience.
Makes sense.
Seasoned professionals bring depth of domain expertise. They've navigated complex business landscapes, they've seen project failures and learned from them, they can often hit the ground running, and they're frequently adept at developing necessary processes, showing agility they've gained from working across multiple companies, multiple technologies. It's that kind of wisdom, you know, that only comes with time in the trenches.
And in our increasingly AI-driven world, they possess these invaluable human skills, critical thinking, leadership, emotional intelligence, quality. The source even explicitly links to wisdom, something still universally associated with aging.
Right. And the irony here is pretty striking. There was a tech CEO quoted saying the most valuable workers are these artist-shaped people with deep technical expertise.
Okay.
Yet the industry often discards the very talent that perfectly fits this description. People who've honed both their technical craft and their strategic intuition over decades. It doesn't quite add up.
It really doesn't. Now, one of the most powerful contributions of senior professionals, and you could argue a true strategic asset, is their ability to mentor. This isn't just some feel-good program, is it? It's actually a critical business tool for knowledge transfer.
Absolutely critical. Multi-generational mentorship programs, and that includes both traditional mentoring and reverse mentoring, they foster crucial collaboration and, importantly, the transfer of that institutional knowledge we were just talking about.
Right.
Traditional mentorship lets seasoned employees pass on years of experience, context, the why behind things. Meanwhile, reverse mentorship allows younger employees to share their knowledge of emerging technologies, new digital trends. It ensures vital knowledge doesn't just retire with senior staff, and it helps everyone stay current. It's a two-way street.
And the business impact is crystal clear. IBM, for example, used mentorship strategically to raise the participation rate of its senior workers from about 45% back in 1995 to a remarkable 69.4% in 2023.
Huge increase.
Huge. And companies with robust mentoring see significantly improved retention rates. We're talking just 9% turnover for employees in mentoring programs compared to 19% for those without. That's a massive difference to the bottom line, team stability, everything.
Massive. It pays for itself many times over.
So we've talked about cultural perceptions, financial costs, knowledge loss. But beyond all that, ageism is also a serious legal liability. And with the rapid integration of AI into business processes, we seem to be facing a whole new frontier of risk.
Yeah, it's really important to remember how relevant the Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967, the ADEA, still is today. This act specifically forbids discrimination against workers 40 and older. And the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they still receive tens of thousands of these complaints every single year.
Tens of thousands. And in tech, this has translated to some massive, very high-profile lawsuits. Mm. IBM, for instance, faced multi-plaintiff suits alleging a systematic replacement of its older employees with much younger workers.
I remember that case.
Yeah, and one 61-year-old manager was awarded nearly $1.5 million after a court found IBM terminated him with reckless disregard for age discrimination.
Reckless disregard, that's strong language from a court. So how does AI complicate this picture now?
Good question.
Well, the integration of artificial intelligence into HR and to hiring processes, it's introduced something called algorithmic disparate impact.
Okay, break that down.
Right. So you have these automated decision systems, ADS, using AI to score applicants, screen resumes. They can inadvertently discriminate against older workers. The key here is it's not necessarily about malicious intent, it's about the outcome. And the legal standard of disparate impact says that such discriminatory outcomes are illegal, regardless of intent.
So, let me see if I get this right. If an AI hiring tool is trained on data from a company's existing workforce, and maybe that workforce is already skewed young because of past bias, the algorithm just learns and replicates that bias. Is that how it works?
That's exactly right. The AI identifies what a successful candidate profile looks like based on the current, often younger workforce data it's fed.
Mm-hmm.
It then perpetuates that bias by favoring similar profiles in future hiring rounds. It creates this feedback loop where the AI system actually amplifies historical biases, negatively impacting older candidates, even if no human consciously makes an ageist decision in that specific hiring process.
Wow. And our research highlights the Mobley v. Workday case as potentially a major legal turning point here. This lawsuit alleges that Workday's AI screening tools systematically disadvantaged an applicant who was over 40, and it was granted preliminary certification as a nationwide collective action.
Yeah, that case sends a crucial message. Companies are now potentially liable not just for their own discriminatory practices, but also for the biases embedded in the third-party AI tools they deploy.
So you can't just blame the vendor.
Not anymore, it seems. Regulations are emerging that mandate proactive anti-bias testing of these AI tools, meticulous record keeping. It's all needed to defend against potential claims. It's definitely a whole new layer of compliance and risk management that companies need to get ahead of.
Okay, so we've covered the problem pretty thoroughly. Its causes, the costs, the risks. How do we actually fix this? Our source material provides a comprehensive four-part strategic blueprint that seems to move beyond just, you know, ticking compliance boxes.
Yeah, it's about genuine transformation. The first step, part one, cultivating a culture of longevity is truly foundational. This really has to begin right at the top. Leaders need to actively champion age diversity, challenge that pervasive youth equals innovation paradigm we talked about, and embed this commitment directly into the company's mission, its values, how it talks about itself.
And a key component of that, especially in tech, seems to be mandatory unconscious bias training, but tailored specifically to this sector. It needs to address things like affinity bias, confirmation bias, and obviously ageism, showing how they manifest specifically in tech hiring or team dynamics. It's about interrupting those deeply ingrained cognitive shortcuts that lead to excluding experienced talent, often without realizing it.
Exactly. Then moving to part two. Redesigning the talent lifecycle. This means really scrutinizing job descriptions to make sure they're truly inclusive. Getting rid of biased language like digital native or energetic or young thinking.
Oh yeah, those buzzwords.
Exactly. Recruitment should focus strictly on essential qualifications, demonstrated skills, not these lengthy wish lists that can inadvertently screen out perfectly qualified, experienced candidates.
And objective interviewing sounds absolutely crucial here. Things like structured interview processes, maybe blind resume reviews to remove identifying details initially. Using diverse interview panels, having clear scoring rubrics. All of that helps mitigate bias in the actual evaluation. Plus, career progression needs to be clearly merit-based, ensuring there are transparent and accessible paths for both individual contributors and managers, regardless of their age.
Well said. Then there's part three, empowering through continuous learning. That stereotype about older workers being resistant to learning, it's just a damaging misconception.
Right.
Companies really must treat upskilling and reskilling as a strategic imperative for all employees. Interestingly, the data shows over half of workers aged 55 and older actually want more AI training, but they often get overlooked for these opportunities.
So the desire is there. The solution then seems to be a tailored, multimodal approach. Offer everything from, you know, traditional classroom sessions and hands-on virtual labs to online certifications and peer-to-peer learning. Let people learn in ways that work for them.
Right.
Our source even suggests leveraging AI itself, which is interesting, to create personalized, maybe in the workflow, learning experiences. And AI could also potentially help match mentors and mentees more effectively based on shared interests and backgrounds.
Using the tech to solve the tech problem, in a way. Finally, we have part four, the power of flexibility and retention. Okay, so once you've successfully hired these talented, experienced professionals, the next big challenge is keeping them engaged and productive.
Retaining them, yeah.
This involves offering flexible work arrangements, things like remote or hybrid options. These are really powerful incentives, especially for older employees who might be seeking better work-life balance or planning a longer career trajectory.
And to prevent that sudden, devastating loss of institutional knowledge we talked about, the source suggests implementing things like phased retirement plans, allowing a gradual reduction of hours instead of a hard stop. Job sharing programs could be another excellent idea. Or leveraging senior expertise for short-term, high-impact projects, maybe even bringing them back as consultants after retirement.
Yeah.
Keeping that knowledge accessible.
Exactly. And what stands out here is that some major companies, IBM, Microsoft, Salesforce, they're already pioneering age diversity through robust mentorship programs and flexible work arrangements. They see the value.
There are models.
There are models. And even public initiatives like Los Angeles County's Access to Technology program, they provide powerful examples of large-scale digital literacy and inclusion efforts that other regions could potentially emulate.
Okay. So, wrapping this all up, what does this deep dive really mean for you, our listener? It seems pretty clear that the narrative of youth as the sole engine of innovation isn't just flawed thinking.
It's actively harmful.
Yeah, it's costing the tech industry billions and exposing it to significant risks, both financial and legal.
The data we've looked at overwhelmingly demonstrates that older workers are not some liability to be managed. They are a powerful, often untapped resource of expertise, engagement, and that crucial institutional knowledge.
Right.
Their invaluable experience, their stability, those human skills like critical thinking and leadership, these are precisely what's needed to navigate our complex, increasingly AI-driven future.
So by strategically integrating experienced professionals, companies can build workforces that aren't just compliant, but are actually more resilient, more innovative, and truly inclusive. This isn't just about avoiding penalties. It's really about securing a lasting competitive advantage and fostering a culture where everyone can grow.
Absolutely. The future of innovation isn't exclusively young, and it isn't exclusively old either. It's got to be an integrated, multi-generational effort where collective wisdom and fresh perspectives combine to create something truly powerful, an unstoppable force capable of tackling tomorrow's biggest challenges.
So, as you reflect on all this, here's a final provocative thought for you. In a world that's going to be increasingly shaped by artificial intelligence, where do you think the true differentiator for human ingenuity and problem solving will ultimately reside? Is it purely in the constant pursuit of newness, or is there immense power in the deep wells of experience and the wisdom that often comes with it?
Something to think about.
Definitely something to think about. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep learning.